This is, I did, for I'm only doing 12 verses, although we're going to see more on these guys, but there's 12, first 12 verses has everything to do with fools. Everything you ever wanted to know about a fool but was afraid to ask. And, but I don't want us to do the typical thing. The typical thing that we do is when we read through the fool passages of Scripture, we like to think of somebody we know, somebody we've met, instead of thinking about ourselves. Remember, wherever it says fool in the Bible, put your name there. And just as the disciples in dealing with Jesus, when Jesus said to them at the Last Supper, he says, one of you will betray me. You know, they all said, is it I? Is it me? Will I do that? You know, I think we live in a day and age where sometimes we think, you know, that there's no possible way I personally could be getting anything wrong regarding my life and my walk with God. Everything I am is right and good. And when I see fool in the Scriptures, that's usually somebody else. And when it says wise man, that's me. We want to try to be a little realistic here tonight and allow the Lord to bust us if he so needs to. And so we're talking about fools. Verse 1, as snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. You know, plain and simple. I mean, sort of if we saw snow in Palm Springs in July, that would be the weirdest thing, and nobody would understand it. And so that's really just the point being made here, that if you want to honor a fool, anybody watching or anybody who knows the situation is going to say, what's this? This makes no sense, how you could honor a fool here. And so, yeah, it's just saying, well, you know, it just doesn't work. And so verse 2, like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. You have to read that through about 25 times before you really know what it's saying. Sparrows, swallows, these birds, and you can watch these birds. We got sparrows out here, you know. They just kind of jump about and, you know, are always pew, 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 pew. You know, they don't just stay in one place and get anything done. They're doing something, but they never stay in one place and make a big difference. And so what is being said here is that if someone were to curse you or give a curse, but it was an empty curse, there was no cause for it. There is no, you know, somebody slamming you for no reason, maybe slandering you. You know, this is just an encouragement in that it's not going to stay put there. It's not going to land. As it says, a curse without cause shall not alight. Like those birds, they don't stick in one place. Let me give you an example of this in Scriptures. David, who was leaving Jerusalem when Absalom had taken over, and David had lost everything, and unjustly so. But then Shimei, who was a relative of King Saul, remember this? He began throwing the dust in the air. It was in 2 Samuel chapter 16, by the way. He's throwing dust in the air and throwing rocks and throwing stuff and yelling at David, saying, you deserve this. God is doing this to you. You are cursed. This is it, because you killed Saul. You know, and it's like these are lies coming out of this guy's mouth. Everything this guy's saying is just false. It's wrong. And you know what? All of Shimei's cursing didn't hurt David one bit. It may, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You know what? Words do hurt us, but if we realize they're just words and we keep moving on, you're going to find out that a curse that somebody puts on you, saying God is going to curse you, it's just, it's, It's not real. Let me. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 21 and 22 says, "Also do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others." Have you ever just cursed somebody and you didn't even know them, or you don't know? I know if you drive, you've done that. And maybe somebody just made a mistake on the road, and boy, you just let them have it. But you want to get all bent out of shape if somebody curses you. See how we are? The fact is, these curses mean nothing. They have no weight. They have no power. They're just empty words. And I tell you, I have had, since I've been a pastor here, I have had curses proclaimed on me. I have. I've had guys say that made a promise that God is going to destroy me. And I can't believe anybody would say that and bring God's name into it all. It's just amazing. Somebody who had left this church, and we thought we were done with him, but no, we weren't. I remember about 8 months later, he had written a letter to us. And I think he even, remember that? He had sent a copy to every board member saying, "Kevin, it needs to be destroyed because of this, this, and this, and God will destroy him." Seriously, it was just amazing. And we go, whoo, boy, that's interesting. And God hasn't destroyed me yet. And that was 6 years ago. So, no, you know, a man's curse. If God wants to waste me, that's up to him. But not to somebody else's empty curse. And besides, I will tell you this. We, born-again believers, we can't be cursed because Jesus was accursed for us. He took the curse. And so, we're set free. We are absolutely set free. One more quick thing on curses. Remember in the book of Numbers, Balaam was hired by Balak to curse Israel, and God would not allow it. You know, Balaam, not a believer, heathen guy, pagan guy. He went up to the top of the mountain. He's looking out over all of Israel, and he's about ready to try to curse him, and God wouldn't even let him. Every time he opened his mouth, something good come out. Keep blessing him. So he just couldn't do it. God would not allow him to do it. But you know that Israel would, after all of that, they would fail greatly because Balak figured out that God protects his people from being cursed. God will stop others from cursing his people, but God's people have the power to curse themselves. All they did, all Balak did, was send in the Moabite women. Send the Moabite women in, and they sent them a welcome cake or something, and all the Moabite women popped out of it, and the men engaged in fornication. Cursed themselves. So, gang, when I say that the fact is that we can't be cursed, certainly nobody can call a curse down on any of God's people. It's impossible. But we certainly have the power to ruin our own lives if we want. And I would say that verse had nothing really to do with fools except... that last part I just said, you know, we can curse ourselves. But here we go with all the fool ones. Verse 3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. How can man be as foolish as an animal? Do we want to turn that heater off? Do you know where the heater is around the other side of the door? Oh, thanks, Dennis. I forgot to turn that off. That is the other side of the door. Yeah, just go ahead and flip it to the left all the way, and it'll turn off later. He's waiting for it to turn off. He's flipped it, and it's not turned off yet. He's thinking of using a hammer on it. No, it just takes, it takes time. Did you turn it to the left?
I just turned the thermostat down.
Yeah, turn the thermostat down, right. All right, thank you. So... how can a man be as foolish as an animal? We're talking about donkeys and horses here. Donkeys and horses, all you horse lovers who think, oh, horses are the smartest animals. No, they're just horses. They're just animals. To get a horse to move, you break him, you got to put a bit in his mouth, and you got to turn it this way and turn it that way. And that's what it takes to get a horse to do the right thing. And that's a whip. They put the bridle on the donkey here in this case. But, you know, you whip a horse, you whip a donkey, you whip these animals because they won't go unless you do. Well, I will say that whips and bridles are uncomfortable things for animals, but that is all that they will respond to. Fools, now here it is. Everybody listen, because this is where it could be us. Fools don't hear common sense. Only pain can get through to them. Only pain works on a fool. Common sense is out of the question. But I found that many fools don't even respond to pain. As we've just been, you know, going through Revelation, you know, what in chapter 16, I love those guys, that there's, you know, hailstones weighing 100 pounds each falling out of the sky, and while their people are dodging the hailstones, they got sores all over their bodies, they've got their everything, they've lost everything, and while they're dodging the stones, they're got one fist in the air cursing God. So pain doesn't even get through to most fools. It's an amazing thing. Verse 4. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. But wait, verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. What? Read those two together again. Do not answer a fool according to his folly. And then verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly. Wait. Yeah, but it says. Wait. Okay. Is this a contradiction? No. It is way not a contradiction. It tells us these are two ways to deal with a fool. And if you put them right up next to each other, you have one conclusion. There's no way of talking to a fool. You can't do it. It doesn't work. Proverbs 14:7 says, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. That's the hardest thing to do. I deal with a lot of foolish people. And again, remember, we're supposed to put our name in here where it says fool. So I guess my wife deals with a foolish person too every now and then. But there is just no way. Have you ever tried to reason with a drunk? You ever tried to do that? Or have you ever tried to reason with a two-year-old? It just doesn't work. And so there's just no way to do it. Or here's one. You ever try to sit down with your cat and reason with the cat? Okay, now listen, kitty. I realize, you know, you've got this nature thing going, but I really don't need you scratching the furniture anymore. You think that, because you know, you ever notice the furniture just falls apart when you do that? So it's just not wise for you to be scratching the furniture. Like the cat cares, if it understood English. But fools can be just like cats. You know, they don't care. They don't want to hear common sense. There's just none of that there. So anyway, that's how I interpret that, by the way, verses 4 and 5. There's another way to interpret this, and that is that maybe with some wisdom and some spiritual discernment, that in any given situation, you know, like some fools, the best way to answer this fool is to go along with his foolishness, or another guy is to just not answer him at all. So that could be it. But anyway, verse 6, he who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Cuts off his own feet. I don't know if I need to explain any of that to you. It's a really bad thing if you send a message by a fool, that's all. In the King James Version, speaking of drinks violence, says drinketh damage. And that is the commentators and the rabbis say that ruins a reputation. That speaks of a ruined reputation. Just don't do it. In verse 7, like the legs of the lame that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of fools. they're there, which are lame legs. They exist, but they serve no purpose. Somebody who has legs that don't work, they just serve no purpose. And we've known paraplegics or quadriplegics. I had a very good friend who was a quadriplegic, and he went home to be with the Lord. But his limbs served no purpose. They were there for looks and nothing more. And though the legs originally were supposed to serve a purpose, as long as they're not working, you know, and just no need for them. And so a proverb, in the mouth of a fool might have something good to say, you know, but it's just empty words if it's in the mouth of a fool. Because a fool does not apply what he knows. I have had some of the most foolish people come to me and tell me some of the wisest things. And it always blows my mind. And I, you know, where you just say, are you listening to yourself? You ever think of doing these things that you're so smart about? But that's our sin nature. You know, I think about that. I have been in so many counseling appointments where I'm sharing something with somebody and God Almighty will speak to me by His Holy Spirit in the middle of what I'm sharing with somebody saying, Kevin, are you listening to this? I got busted in the middle of my own counseling appointment, you know. Oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? But so often we can be living a life while our words are so smart, a life that is so messed up, but our words are so smart. Let's, you know, if we have a proverb in our mouth, let it not be in the mouth of a fool, but rather in the mouth of somebody who's walking the talk, talking the walk and doing both those things. Poor Solomon, he should know about this. He did a lot of foolish things. He had so many things coming out of his mouth that I'm sure never had any power in anybody's life because they watched Solomon with 1,000 women. You know, and I wonder how far he got with the first, you know, like chapters, what do you got, 5 through 9 in Proverbs, talking about the immoral woman. You know, don't go chasing women. Solomon says, don't go chasing women. And I could just see his kids going, oh, yeah, Dad. You got a lot of room to talk. When are you going to take your own counsel, buddy? So, walk the talk. Verse 8, like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. Bind a stone in a sling. Bind a stone in a sling. Not just to put it in the sling and then swing it around and let it go, but talking about taking a sling in your hand, taking the stone and tying it to the pocket and then swing it around your head. How many Goliaths are you going to kill that way? So that's just a foolish thing. It's a foolish illustration. You know, nobody binds a stone in a sling because it will go nowhere. The stone nor the sling can be used, just as honor for a fool will benefit nobody. You know, you've just, great, you've given honor and, you know, bound it to this fool and it's just going to, nothing will come of it. Verse 9, like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Thorn in the hand of a drunkard. I have a lot of things that I read on this, and it's still hard for me to follow. Certainly, a thorn in your hand, you can hurt yourself with it, and a drunk doesn't know what to do with that thorn. You ever see a drunk try to pull a thorn out of his hand. But also, this could be like a sharp stick, as many of the commentators suggested. And you know, as a drunk with anything in his hand can be very dangerous, and especially if it's sharp. and he could stab himself with it or accidentally stab somebody else with it when he meant to do good with it. And I think about that, you know, like a proverb in the mouth of a fool, like the word of God, just having the word of God in the mouth of somebody who doesn't walk it. Or think about Peter in his use of the sword. We know that the word of God is compared to a sword, a double-edged sword. And there's kind of a spiritual application that I like, that, you know, when Peter was in the garden, he had a sword, and they came to get Jesus, and he took that sword, and he goes whack, 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 you know, and he cuts off Malchus's ear, and Jesus goes like this, and he says, no, that's, you don't know what we're doing here, you know, and he picks up Malchus's ear and fixes it, puts it back on. Peter loved the sword, but he didn't know how to use it. And I think a fool can love the word of God and just not know how to use it, and use it to cut to the ear of somebody, even to use it against somebody. Cool thing in chapter 2 of Acts, after Peter received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that when he used the sword, this time he used the word of God, that sword, and it says it cut to the heart. And so often we take the word of God and we cut to the ear with it instead of cutting to the heart with it. And the only way you can know the difference is by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, but also just having a desire to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way. It's not a technique by any means. But so it is in the mouth of a fool. Here's an example. I mean, I think that some people who don't know the Lord, they'll take the word of God and they'll use a couple verses here and there, and they only hurt themselves with it, like a drunk would hurt himself with a thorn, because they want to make the entire Bible mean what that verse says. You know, one of my favorite ones, you know, like Matthew chapter 7, the one that unbelievers know. I don't know how they know this verse. But it's, judge not, lest ye be judged. You know, and that's the one that unbelievers know. They know that one. And they use that to keep themselves away from Jesus Christ. Like a thorn in the hand of a drunkard. And so, all right. Verse 10. The great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. This is speaking in terms of like the wages of sin is death. All right, this is not saying that the great God who formed everything is giving the fools their jobs and giving them their money and giving them their good things. And no, but he is. This is telling us that God will give to the fool what is coming to him. He will give them what they have earned. And so it's easy to misunderstand verse 10 and to think that, you know, God is blessing them. Although I will say that I think it's in Psalm 17 that says something. Wait a minute, I'm gonna go there real quick, make sure it is Psalm 17. About unbelievers. Yeah. They've closed up their fat hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They set their eyes, crouching down to the earth as a lion eager to tear its prey. Arise, O Lord, confront him with your sword, with your hand, and from the men of... Okay, with your hand... From men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life and whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their possessions for babes. What David is saying here is that he's noticing that unbelievers and fools, the enemies of God, God is taking care of them. And as it says, the men of this world who have their portion in this life, whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. What an awesome thought. I mean, to think that, you know, in everybody in this whole world, God is still taking care of them, even if they don't care about him. But if a fool remains a fool the rest of his life, then God will give him his wages at the end. Here's your paycheck. Here's your check at the end of your life. Verse 11, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. You ever seen a dog do that? Saw a bear do it at the zoo. It was great. Man. You know, sick thing is, you know, you're standing there just looking at it going, oh, 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 you don't want to look. And then you look again. Oh, oh. That is the grossest thing in the world, a dog returning to his own vomit. People do it all the time. I wish Officer Brandon Lee were here to give testimony. Because he picks up the same people over and over and over again. There is no way that we will stop foolish behavior until we're saved. And even then, you got to purpose in your heart to follow the Lord. But it is amazing to me how many stupid things I did before I was saved and how I just kept doing it. Let me go back to the gambling addiction. You know, talk about this morning. This morning, talking about the thirst. You know, like I'm something. I got to fill this emptiness and this hunger with something. And gambling was my sin of choice. And I would lose everything. They'll get that over there. I would lose everything. I was one of those write a bad check gamblers. I was foolish. I was one of the greatest fools ever. I would feel horrible for what I had done. I would have to deal with the banks. I would have to deal with the bill collectors. I would have to deal with, and I was making big money at this time. I'd just go ahead and either fly out to Vegas or drive out to Vegas once every few weeks. But the rest of the time, I was sitting in the card rooms with the old men every day and losing, you know, 100 a day, a couple hundred. And I feel horrible. What have I done? I'm such a fool. And then I'd go back there and see that puddle of vomit and say, wonder what that tastes like. That is I love this illustration God gives us in his word here. Because that's how stupid it is if you keep making the same mistake. Somebody once told me that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. But I beg to differ with that. That's not the definition of insanity. That's the definition of humanity. That's the definition of a sinful person, foolish person. And the Lord breaks us of that. I was not broken of these things until I was born again. I tried to break myself. Oh, I tried. I did all kinds of things, trying. You know, I actually called Gamblers Anonymous like 4 times. Got a problem. Yeah, come to the meeting. Yeah, okay. And I'd hang up and say, I can do this without them. I'm not going to go to that meeting, but I know I got a problem and I'm going to stop. That's it. Gee, that barf looks good. Okay. But it all stopped after I fell in love with the Lord, after I understood he loves me. So that's how you can tell somebody's a fool, or if you are a fool, are you still making that same mistake over and over again? Don't be afraid to put your name where it says fool. Bring it to the Lord and say, God, Almighty, I have been busted tonight. Thank you, Lord, that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, let's work on this one. I don't want to return to that anymore. Verse 12, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. There's somebody worse than a fool. Is that somebody who thinks he's smarter than everybody else? It's not only those who are wise in their own eyes, like very intelligent, I'm smart, but just, you know what that causes is somebody who thinks he's better than everybody else. Now, if I took a poll here, which I'm not, I would say, how many of you enjoy people who are like that, who know everything, and they let you know they know everything, and they don't even let you say a word because they're busy telling you everything they know and how you don't know it. First of all, we know, we all know that those people are no fun. So often we can find ourselves wise and special in our own eyes. Romans 12:3 says, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Verse 16 of Romans 12 says, do not be wise in your own opinion. Think soberly. Isn't that great? Think about this. Don't think more highly than you ought to think of yourself, but think soberly. Which means that if you are thinking highly of yourself, the Bible's telling us that we're not thinking soberly, which means we're thinking like a drunk if we think highly of ourselves. Because what's the opposite of sober? That's out of your mind. Interesting. I think Paul warned us of these things. We get the warnings throughout Scripture on these things because let's face some truth here, okay? Let's face some truth. We, every one of us sitting in the chair you're sitting in right now, we favor ourselves. We are our favorite person. We have a high opinion of our opinion. We tend to think highly of ourselves. I don't know, what is that? What, 90% of all people believe that they are above average intelligence? Did you know? Okay, you have to think about that for a little bit. This is the absurdity of that. But it's true. And I think psychology encourages this type of stuff so we can all feel good about ourselves. Psychology tells us how wonderful we are, and we start buying into it. Meanwhile, the Bible's saying, don't even go there. Don't do that. Galatians 6:3 says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Philippians 2:3 says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. This is very backwards thinking from our sinful tendencies. Now, I do want to say that don't take the other side of this. As, you know, you talk about being wise in your own eyes. by the way, as we go on, we start learning what somebody who's wise in his own eyes is a lazy man. Look at verse 16. It says, the lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. And so we move from fool to wise in his own eyes to lazy. And unfortunately, I can relate to all of that. But don't go thinking that because the Bible is against self-glorification, that what we must do is to beat ourselves up. Oh, I'm a horrible person. I'm just so horrible. You know, and then we can have an I'm horrible contest to see who's the holiest person in the world, you know. That's utter foolishness. Because we are not to think highly of ourselves, number one. Number two, we are not to think lowly of ourselves. We are to deny ourselves, which is to have no thought of ourselves at all. That is the groove where God put us, where we are able to operate in pure joy in His Spirit, the way He intended us to operate, and that is that we would deny ourselves, that we wouldn't think of ourselves. I tell you, this is so funny, but the times I feel best is when I'm not thinking about me. At all, one way or another. I'm thinking very well thoughts of me or very poor thoughts of me. Either way, it doesn't do me any good. But when I am busy thinking about somebody else, ministering to somebody else, and I get done with that task, whatever it is, then I realize that, wow, that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. But if it's always, what about me? Me. No wonder you're miserable. Knock it off. Get your eyes off of you. Well, anyway, we got a lot of fool stuff there. We'll get some lazy stuff and more fool stuff later. But remember, when you're reading through the scriptures and reading through Proverbs, when you run into a fool, just stop for a second, see if he looks like you. And and then move accordingly. Let's not pretend, all right? Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, we know that even your word tells us in 1 Corinthians that you chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And Lord, how you saved a bunch of fools, saved a bunch of weak people. Lord, I pray that in our own opinion of ourselves, we would understand that we're nothing without you. And Lord, we would rather just have no opinion of ourselves at all, but to have our focus on you, completely on you, in your glory, in your love, in your mercy. And Lord, when our focus is off of you, may it be on others to love them and to give them mercy, to give them the love that you give us. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.